Now we want to turn all the glory to the great one, the strong one, the powerful one, the mighty one. Let us turn all the glory to him and turn all the praise to him. To him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We turn all the glory, we turn all the praise, we turn all the adoration to you tonight in the name of Jesus. Turn it on to him. Turn it on to him tonight. Turn it on to him tonight. Turn it on to him tonight. We give him the praise, we give him the glory, we give him the honor. Let his great name be glorified. Let his great name be honored. Turn it on to him in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we thank you. Oh Lord, we give you praise. We adore you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making our eyes to see this day. We give you praise. We magnify you. We honor you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now there's a woman that walked into this hall, and I've seen that there is a condition, there's an affliction that is projecting and expressing itself with pain below your abdomen. Before the message comes to an end, you'll be healed. Now, see, I did not say that for an amen. When you listen to 9 o'clock news, you don't say amen after it. I'm just casting news. Before the message comes to an end, you'll be healed. Hallelujah. Okay, please sit down. I don't know what is... Oh. You are welcome. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, it's needful for us to understand as end time saints that there is something critical in the unfolding of the plan of God. It happens to be that time and season is a critical factor in the unfolding of the plan of God. And if you are very attentive, you will know that occultic people keep time. Necromancers keep time. Wizards keep time. Because they cannot summon the power of the deep just any day. They need to wait for the accurate alignment sometimes of the sun, the star, and the moon in order for them to invoke the power of the deep over a particular territory. And so, but you see, it happens to be that God's people, God's own elect, don't keep time. Meanwhile, the God with whom we have to do is a God that performs his purposes in due time and in due season. Now, you see, the truth is this: if you don't understand, if you don't have insight into times and seasons, purposes even ordained by God will pass over your head, and God will have to look to the generation of your children. Now, it's so terrible. From the few things I've seen these few days that we have come to Boko, and the things that God has spoken about this particular season that he has brought the body of Christ into, is so terrible that the average Christian that walks upon the street doesn't have an idea. Now, you see, it's needful for us to understand that our God does not dwell in time. He dwells in eternity. We, as seeds of eternity, God, we are factored to fulfill a divine errand in time. And God has granted us a window of time so that we can sow a seed that has eternal potency. Now, I need to educate us, because I've seen from what God has shown me today, I think it's worth crying about. It's something that should generate a lot of tears. Something that should, we should weep and cry about. Hallelujah. You are a seed of eternity. Given an expression in time to sow into eternity. The scale of measurement that is going to measure the potency of your work upon the face of the earth is not time-based. The apparatus by which the quality of your existence is going to be measured is not based on that which is natural. And that's why the Bible says that every man's work will be tested with what? Now, do you think it's the fire that you used to cook your food before you came? Hallelujah. You think it's the one that you kindled by your stove? Is that kind of fire? The people of God in this territory are too natural. We function naturally as Christians, naturally as ministers, naturally as pastors. And we are expecting that the sovereignty of God will somehow break into the territory and begin to work. That's not how God works. That's the reason why God needs to upgrade the man and bring him to his frequency so that the man can perceive God's heart and God's technique and God's wisdom for accomplishing God's purpose. If God cannot find such a man, in that generation, God cannot function. Because he has limited himself in such a way that by his proclamation, he has ordained that the government of the earth is willed to man. And God cannot violate the authority that he himself set in motion. And so what happens is that when a time comes for God to do something and men are not present to connect with him, what happens is that window closes. A window that closes in the spirit realm might open after 120 years. You see, it's not like, okay, I failed a course in the university and then maybe I can register it next session. Hallelujah. Today, you know, yesterday somebody came, a practitioner of witchcraft, trying to see if he can exercise his power. Today, we allowed a person go free because the mercy of God was available. Today, there's no mercy today. If you came with tools from the kingdom of darkness here today, now you have the time, the period between the message now to the end to quietly go. You will not survive it today. Yes. You will not survive it today. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. In 1999, 50,000 intercessors flew to Egypt, mostly from India. You know, Punch carried it. They said that they have been waiting for 120 years for the accurate alignment of the sun, moon, and star. That in the day of that alignment, the possibility of invoking the greatest power of the deep exists. And they had to go to Egypt because they believed that Egypt was the center of the landmass of the earth. Egypt was the home of Satan. And they could invoke the power of the devil from the river Nile so that he could sit on the four winds of the earth to rule. They waited how many years? Punch, Nigerian newspaper, Punch carried it. It happens to be that the alignment coincided with the month of December, when the average Christian was preparing for Christmas to get some tools. We are always out of time. We are always people that walk with our natural senses and do not understand that the administration of the kingdom of heaven is an ongoing procession that God puts in place on the account of his wisdom so that he can bring his kingdom and establish it upon the face of the earth. The truth is this: God is eternal, God is immortal. If we disconnect from him, I'd say it the other day, he will wipe all of us out.
Your name will not be remembered. My own name too will be blotted out. And he will still look for your children to fulfill it. Boko is about to miss something that Boko will never get again. And I tell you the truth, if we don't trap it, the hordes of darkness will come from the east. And this land will be persecuted. Listen to me. Listen to me. And listen well. There are many ministers that have stood and resisted God. In the next 6 months, many of them will fall. Listen to me. That I am warning. If you have implements of witchcraft here, you came with it to test the power of God. You have from now to the end of the service to respect yourself and to go out. You will not survive tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. This territory is about to lose something that is the major reason for its existence and protection. Because there is blindness and deafness and darkness, and people have embraced it. And the people in the forefront of the kingdom of light that are supposed to pave way for the thrones of heaven to be established upon the face of the earth have mingled themselves. And the covenants of God that keep the pillars and the lampstand burning have been compromised. It's not a time to be excited. It's a time to cry. It's a time to cry. Most of what we call Bible school in Benue State is not preparing people for that which have been captured by prophetic sight. You see, oh my God. We walk by natural senses and we are seeking to inherit something that is supernatural. Your birth was supernatural. And then you are expecting to live life naturally. You were born into the kingdom of God by supernatural means. It was a miracle. But you want to live a natural life after you have received the supernatural birth. Hallelujah. If we fail, we endanger our children. If we fail, we empower Islam. If we fail, our children will be born to a different world. We have a short while to make up our mind. The pendulum will shift from this land. And I speak by the mouth of God. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Psalms. Now, you see, don't be in a hurry to be a pastor in Boko. Now, if somebody calls you to be a pastor, don't be in a hurry now. Don't be in a hurry to have a pulpit in Boko. God's standard. I am in Psalms 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long shall he judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither they will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Let me stop there for now.
The Spirit of God is going to pass through Boko before the end of this year. No, I'm not. It's not for amen. Just try to keep quiet. The Spirit of God will pass through Boko. There's so much falsehood, so much religion that doesn't have the touch of life that have been practiced over the years in this city. God will come to judge before the end of this year. Listen to me, the book of Psalms 82 says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Check your Bible critically. God doesn't need to stand. Alright? Because in the administration of his government, he administers his purposes by issuing decrees. So, God is confined to his throne. There is no need for him to stand up. Hallelujah. The Bible reveals that everything we call creation today was a function of that which took place after that he uttered his counsel to his lips. Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. God doesn't need to stand. But there is something that makes God stand. One thing and one thing only that can make God now stand from that throne that he seated, and then he stands erect because he doesn't need to stand so. Only the gods can make God stand. And when I say the gods, I'm not talking about Shongo. Oh, what's that one again? No, I need a thief brand so that people can relate with what we're talking about. Swem. I'm not talking about Swem. I'm talking about men that God has put in charge of some of his business. Men. Alright? As far as Psalms 82 is concerned, the gods here mentioned are actually men that have authority from the Lord to manage some of his business. And I'm going to show you some things. And I'll show you what happens when the gods compromise. The effect of the compromise of the gods goes beyond the gods. Hallelujah. I hope you know Jesus quoted this scripture in the book of Luke. He said, if you call them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scriptures cannot be what? And just in case you came here with a religious mind, I say, oh, this Lagos preacher has come with, you are not, that is, you are outdated. You are, maybe you are 1982 model of what God is doing. That's what you have. The revelations of God and the things that God has released from heaven for the administration of his purposes here on earth has gone beyond what most Christians and believers are holding on to. Because we are not progressively advancing with God, we are the 1984 model of ourselves. God went far ahead of the technology that we are practicing right now. And we are expecting that that technology is going to deliver the kingdom to a generation that is facing severe crisis on earth. See, something must happen to us. Boko is far backward. Far backward. The backwardness of this land is traceable to the backwardness of the church. Every land is a mirror image of the church. And that's what Ezekiel taught us. He said, you want to understand the violence in the city? Meet me in the temple. Yes, meet me in the temple. We are afraid. That's why our generation is plunging into darkness. We that claim to profess truth, we are fake. We are fake. Based on analysis, I'm sorry. You may not like me. Maybe I won't even come back again. Based on analysis, Boko has the highest number of fake pastors. That's why the land is like this. And I need to show you when the gods, the people that God put in place to manage his business, when they fall out of alignment, they create another image.
and something else from the spirit realm that they have created will come and fill the vacuum. You don't understand it? Oh, my. That's why we need to walk with the Holy Ghost. Because we must be a projection in the natural of a configuration in the supernatural. That's the only way that heaven and earth can merge. That's the only way. We have not grown in our walk with the Holy Spirit. We have not grown in discerning His purposes, discerning His seasons, discerning His time. Even the messages that we preach, it's not for now. It's not for now. The fact that you can open the Bible and talk doesn't mean you are preaching. There is a spirit of life that has a capacity to create that should come through the utterance. Words are containers that should carry spirit. That's what Jesus said. He said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit. They can create the things they talk about. If we are less than that, then we are not New Testament preachers. God does not need to stand. But there is a time when He stands. And only the gods can make Him stand. And just in case you find Him standing, it is because He wants to judge. Listen to me. Over Boko, God is standing. By the time we finish this program and go, you will begin to hear news. The news will continue to December. We are in August. Okay. It will continue. The fear of God will come again by force. Even though you don't want it to come. That fear will come by December. Because you will hear of things that will happen. The Bible says that God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. The Bible says that He judgeth among the gods. It's only the gods that can make Him stand. That was why in the book of Acts of the Apostles, the Bible revealed that when Stephen was being stoned, that he looked diligently into heaven and he saw the Son of Man doing what? Standing. That was one of the gods. Only the gods can make Him stand. Only the gods. And the Bible revealed that God was standing in the congregation of the mighty people. And He was standing to bring judgment. What was the allegation that he had against the gods? Let's go back to our Bible. He said, how long will he judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? How long will he pervert justice, walk in darkness and carry darkness like a cloak? How long? How long? Will you portray the image of a God that is brilliant, that is bright, that is righteous? How long will you portray His image in shadows, in darkness, in alliance with the kingdom of the devil? Say, for how long? Now, meanwhile, I need to tell you the power that God confers on the gods. Now, I think I need to do a little Bible study to open up that verse 1. If not, if I keep preaching it, maybe you may go home with lack of understanding. Now, the people that the Bible revealed that God is standing before, what are those people? They are called the congregation of what? I know you are not happy, but you can pretend at least. And then answer me. He standeth where? Of the mighty. Now, so I want us to open up that word mighty within the context of this scripture. Because there are several points in scripture that you are going to find that word. Sometimes making reference to people in the kingdom of light, some other times making reference to beings in the kingdom of darkness. Especially the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, I say, shall the prey be taken from? That one is with respect. That means that spiritual ranking of might. That spiritual ranking of might exists in light, it also exists in darkness. So let me tell you something. I know you are born again. I know you have the authority of Jesus is available to you through the use of His name. But let me tell you something. You can only handle demons on your level. I know this one, it took time to know this one. And it's not Bible study that gave me this knowledge. I encountered some things first before I found it in the Bible. If you are a Bible teacher and you use concordance to prepare messages to teach people, you are not a preacher. God, you don't know the God you are preaching. You have not seen his shape. You have not heard his voice. So sit down. Hallelujah. Check your Bible critically. You find out that Satan himself only came directly against three people in the Bible. Have you checked it? He came against Job. He came against Peter. And he came against Jesus. Okay, let me stop. I hope you know, in this your state, if you collide with people that are more educated than you in darkness, they can kill you. Even though you are in Christ. Okay. Okay, let me leave you. I won't explain it again. As I'm explaining, some people have say, eh? Eh. Okay. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes.
You can only. That's why whenever you are promoted spiritually, you begin to see new kinds of problems. It's because now the custodian of the balance case of judgment, justice, and equity has released you into a new realm, and the challenges of that realm are powered by demons that have that ranking. Satan doesn't need to know most of our address, most of us. We are not yet relevant enough. No, we are not. It's not your bow tie that makes you. You have not become such a case that Satan will now mention your name and say, ah! No, you have not gotten there yet. So as you grow in the ranks, there are equivalent lieutenants in darkness, minions in darkness, that have a commensurate ranking. Those are the ones that will. You know, the Bible says that God will not allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. It's not as if there are no temptations that are more than your size. But he's the God that balances the just scales. Are you with me? Okay. Now, so let's open that scripture. The mighty. Now, we are going to deviate for 5 minutes to capture that insight before we come back. And I may need us to go to the book of Isaiah. When we finish from Isaiah, we'll come back to Psalms. Isaiah chapter 3. If you are still here, say amen. Boko is about to lose something. Except some intervention takes place. I hope you know there are some times that heaven prays and it waits for earth to answer. Don't say, If you have not articulated it in scripture, just be quiet. Sometimes heaven does what? Prays. And waits for what? Earth to answer. That's why most biblical prophecies doesn't go along with human names attached. Because anyone that aligns with the mind of God and presents God a sword, he wins the day. You see, when Jesus was to be taken to Golgotha, prophetically it was captured that Jesus had to be crucified. He had to die outside of Jerusalem. Because he was fulfilling the spiritual type of the scapegoat And the destiny of the scapegoat is that he has to die outside of the walls of Jerusalem. Jesus lost blood in seven places, actually revealing and connoting the seven levels of deliverance that man needs to totally come out of the snare of this personality called Satan. By the time Jesus fell the third time with the cross, he had lost so much blood, he would have died in the walls of the city. Heaven stood still at that point, and God began to search upon the face of the earth what he could manipulate to bring about an intervention. That is heaven praying and waiting for what? Earth to answer. You are not with me. In order for Jesus to satisfy the claims of divine justice, God cannot help him supernaturally, because he was supposed to stay operate in the capacity and the resources available to man. If God should bring about a supernatural intervention, then God will no longer be just, and the balance scales of judgment and justice will be tilted, and Satan will still be in charge. Hallelujah. Now, among all the sons of men gathered, even though God was looking for a man to prompt, a man to quicken, a man to give an idea that Jesus needed help, God could not use just any man. Are you with me? The reason why God could not just use any man was because of the ancestry of the men present. Because after the fall, God had only three families to work with. Now, have we been studying our Bible at all? Because people are looking at me and say, hey. Okay. The Lord will help us. After the fall, God had only three families to work with. The family of Shem, of Ham, and of Japheth. The family of Shem represent the Israelites, and the Israelites have condemned Jesus to death. So God cannot use any of the sons of Shem. The family of Japheth, represented by Pilate, had condemned Jesus to death, so God could not use any son of Japheth. The only road that was open was the sons of Ham. The sons of Ham are the black people. They were the ones that Noah cursed. They're the ones that is because of Noah's curse that Africa is backward. I hope you know that. The only family open was the family of Ham. And the Bible now revealed that there was a man. God, heaven was praying for intervention, looking for people for earth to answer. Heaven was stranded at that point because sanctification was hanging on Jesus. Redemption was hanging on Jesus. Atonement was hanging on Jesus. And if Jesus dies inside the wall, all of that is null and void. And God needed to intervene, but he needed man to answer the prayer of heaven. Then the Bible now said, Simon the Cyrenian. I don't know why Simon, what he was doing there. Where did he come there? Because Cyrene is Libya. What brought him there? His description in that particular scripture did not reveal that he had serious business to attend to. He was like a holiday pilgrim, him and his family. And they were just, what moved that man there? And that was a man that bore that cross to the nations. He has actually fulfilled a prophetic pattern that the gospel, the pure gospel of the kingdom of Jesus, will be born on the backs of black people towards the end of the age. And that tribe, that set of people that Noah cursed, will become the most blessed among all nations. Because heaven prayed and earth answered. Now, I know it is. So when I said it at first, you said, Lagos man, don't come again with you. Do you know that heaven is praying for Boko now? If you don't know. Some men will answer. Some men will answer, but a lot of people will be wiped out. I need to say that. In the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 3. For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay of the staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. Now, please, come with me. Are you with me? See, sometimes when I'm thinking scripture, I'm thinking 12 scriptures ahead. So if we have to come and be struggling to teach one scripture, it's always a burden. You know what God is doing here? God wants to bring judgment upon Israel because Israel has departed from his way. But the judgment God is bringing, Israel is not going to feel it if some people are in place. There are some gods that God has planted in Israel. Are you with me? Gods, small g. He has planted them in Israel. And as long as those guys are there, they have inherent endowment from God to divert situations, divert negative circumstances. If all of them are occupying their offices, it will be difficult for pestilence to survive there. So if God wants to judge them, God will have to remove them first. Then when they are removed, then God can now judge and afflict the land because of their disobedience to his will. Are you with me? So the Bible says that God will take away the staff of bread. He will bring hunger. He will take away the supplies of water. He will bring thirst. Can we go on the list? He will take away the mighty man. The first man that God needs to take away is who? I think I'll stop there. Even though the list continues. But our focus this evening is not the list. It's who? The mighty man. Okay, let's read on so that you will see that it's not only the mighty man that he took away. He will take away what? The mighty man. He will take away what? The man of war. He will take away the judge. He will take away the prophet. He will take away the prudent. He will take away the ancient. He will take away the captain of 50. He will take away the honorable man. He will take away the counselor. He will take away the cunning artificer. He will take away the eloquent orator. If he doesn't take these guys away, he cannot afflict the land. Even if he afflicts these guys with the anointing, they can divert it. Why is it that in the list, the first officer mentioned, you know, wait. You know, all we know, okay, I won't go there. Why is it that is the mighty man that is mentioned first? The ancient is not mentioned first. The prophet wasn't mentioned first. The eloquent orator. When they want to go for a battle and the people are already demoralized, they cannot hold sword and spear, then the orator is summoned. That's where his key works. And when he begins to bring into perspective the historical dimensions of God's deliverance, how that God delivered with few, and how that God has no restraint either to conquer with few or to conquer with many. When he has finished his work as an orator, that camp, that army that was demoralized, oh my Jesus, something is infused into them and they shout for war. If there's no situation you bring that these guys, if they are in their proper places and offices in the territory, they will divert it. Who is a mighty man? The description of a mighty man is not in the natural. We must trace it to the supernatural. And because of that, I need to say something about the book of the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 2, hallelujah, Peter on the day of Pentecost began to explain to us what was responsible for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Are you with me? And in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, from verse 31 to verse 35, Peter gives us the accurate explanation of the explosion that took place on the day of Pentecost. His explanation was this. Now these manifestations we see today is indicative of the fact that in heaven right now, Jesus has been coronated Lord and Christ. He has sat in the office of the Christ. He has been conferred the honors of Lord. And this is the physical manifestation of his coronation. Do you want us to open to ask the apostles to assimilate that before we proceed? Oh, you want us to do that? All right. Okay, I won't open it. Let somebody help me with the reading. If I open it, I will see a scripture that will enter into my spirit. I will feel I need to talk about it. And then we'll stay here much longer. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, if you begin to read from verse 31, and I need to give you a background so that you can understand. In the same way that, are you with me? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
What is being illustrated in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 that I want us to actually look upon is actually a replica of the scenario that took place when Moses was on the mountaintop. And if Moses lifts up his hand, Joshua was winning in the battle. If Moses' hands came down, Joshua began to lose in the battle. That means the glorified Moses was what was responsible to the victorious Joshua. You get that?
Yes.
That's the context. By the time we go to the book of Acts of the Apostles, I'm going to show you the glorified Jesus is what is responsible for the release of the Spirit. The Greek word for it is allos parakletos. Another has come that is of the same kind. You get it? Just like Moses and Joshua were a tag team, the exaltation of Jesus was what gave birth to the outpouring of the Spirit and the release of the Spirit upon the face of the earth. Psalms 110 verse 0 is the Old Testament perspective of the scenario. It is painted in graphic pictures. God told Jesus, sit down at my right hand, I'll make your enemies your footstool. Verse 2 says, and the Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. And he was talking about the Holy Ghost. So as Jesus is sitting down, the Holy Ghost will leave heaven and begin to operate on earth with one mandate, that the enemies of Christ be brought under his feet. Do you get that? Are you seeing it now?
Yes.
So what is a throne in heaven was a spirit on earth. Did you see that one?
Yes.
I said, did you see it?
Yes.
A throne that was occupied in heaven, the physical or the earthly perspective of that throne was a spirit that was in operation on earth. You get that?
Yes.
Now, so, okay. Like pastor now, he's a teacher. Are you with me? Why is the teaching ministry referred to as an office, the office of the teacher? It is referred to as an office because what is responsible for the anointing that gives you the ability to expose and to expound scripture is a throne in the spirit realm. Oh my. You are not with me. Jesus. Hallelujah. Anytime you see the concentrated presence of God on the life of a man, it's an indication of the fact that there's a throne. The man is occupying a throne in the spirit realm. That's why the ministry of a teacher is an office. There is a throne in the spirit realm that is behind that man that makes it possible for that anointing to teach to always come upon his life anytime he wants to do ministry. Do you get that? So the presence of the Spirit on earth was a sign that there was a throne erected in heaven. So in heavenly places, you occupy that throne. That is the reason why you have access to that anointing every time here on earth. Because the image of a throne on earth is a spirit that is at work here. Okay, are you with me? So, a mighty man is someone that occupies a throne in the spirit realm. Did you get it to that point? Because of that throne that he occupies in the spirit realm, he has access to a dimension of God's deposits. Almost always, He has access to that dimension. When you want to fight that man, alright? Don't go and ask his mother who he is. Because his mother does not know that man. The day he ascended that throne in the spirit realm, his mother doesn't know him anymore. The information his mother will give you will make you lose that battle. It's not sufficient to quantify him because he's functioning from where? A throne in the spirit. I know the time that the gate of the apostolic office was opened to me. I know. I preached for 15 years before the gate opened. Even though I was called to be an apostle. But I did not become an apostle one day. I went through a process. God tried my heart. He put me in perspective. I know when the throne opened. I know the abilities I have at my disposal right now as I'm standing on the account of that office. Are you with me? Oh my. You are not coming. I know the things I can say that will happen now because of a throne. That's why whenever you see a manifestation in the natural, it is traceable to a throne in the supernatural. If you see a good wizard in the village, he has a spiritual throne. Because the shape of the spirit realm is labeled into thrones, into dominions, into principalities, into judgments, into commandments, into the will and the purposes. That's how that shape is, the shape of the spirit realm. So when you see a man that is strong on ground, what's happening? He has a throne in the realm. Because of that throne you occupy, like if with the level of anointing that's been activated now, if I want to know something about your life, I can know it. In my heart, I'll just ask God, reveal this, reveal him to me. I'll ask him, he will open it. Hallelujah. Are you with me? It is possible because of the throne I'm sitting. I know the time that I was sitting in the office of a teacher for 12 years. When I want to pray, I pray with scripture. I gather scripture because that was my configuration. Alright? I know what happened to me when the prophetic anointing opened to my life. If I want, it became easier. I don't need to search to arrange all the scriptures anymore. If I begin to pray about a matter, I begin to see it. I begin to know what to touch, what to tackle. Do you understand? I have the advantage. I have the additional advantage of the prophetic anointing at work in my life. Do you get that, what I'm talking about? That anointing has shaped the way I pray. It shaped the way I do things. Because I can lean on it and it will produce results and make life easier for me. It's a throne that is at work. Do you realize that because of that throne that is available, I can look at her now and ask God, how much money does she have? And I can also know how much money she has. Then I say, okay, that money you have, so amount, go and put it on the altar. That one God didn't send me. Are you with me? But I used my throne to steal from her. Are you following? The throne must work. Because I'm sitting on it. As long as it is activated and the door to it is open, I can use it. But it is possible for me to use it in such a way that is not consistent with the way God intended that the throne should be used. It doesn't mean that I have demonic power. It's still the anointing. But you see, the way I'm administering it to fulfill another purpose that is not consistent with the purpose of God. And because it is God that anointed me, even though people judge me, it doesn't bother me because I'm not accountable to them. So God will have to stand in the congregation of the mighty to judge among the gods. Because the moment God makes you ascend the throne, he has given you some ability to administer some of his business. That is what makes you a god, small g. You can wield some power. You have some authority. You can say some things and it will come to pass. You can come and disallow some things. We will all account for that ability, the way we administered it. Are you with me? So did you get it to that point? Now, so God stood in the congregation of the mighty to judge among the gods. That these guys that are put in charge of some of my business are beginning to misrepresent me. They are no longer in alignment with me. They have another agenda that they want to accomplish. with the resources I've made available. That means they are smarter than I am now. They need my resources, but they want to use it to fulfill another agenda. So that was a quarrel that God had with the gods. You know, as I'm preaching now, I know some of you are remembering some people that stole your money. The way I'm seeing your face, I know. You are victims. You have your 10,000 and you didn't have any money. And the small one you had, you ran to go and bring it. And you were expecting breakthrough. And instead of breakthrough, you passed through serious hardship. I'm seeing that now. Listen to me, not everybody fell. Not everybody fell to that temptation of darkness. There is a new breed without greed. A radical opposition against unrighteousness that is rising up from the land. It will speak with the voice of God and it will challenge the gates of darkness. You see, God... Okay, let me stay to the Bible, stick to the scripture. Then let's go back to the book of Psalms 82. Let's go back to Psalms 82. If I continue on this part, we'll stay too long here. In Psalms 82, God was asking, how long will he judge unjustly, speaking to the mighty? How long will he accept the persons of the wicked? A wicked man has money to give you. You receive the money and then you take sides with him. You know, some wicked people that were slated for death, the reason why they have not died is because they went to some gods and fraternized, dropped some money. The gods now covered them with their throne. Even though God had ordained that this one should be cut off, the covering that they gave those people is what preserved them. Hallelujah. Now, you see, but that God will have to account for the use of that throne. No man can bring him to book. But the one that conferred the honors upon him is the one that will stand someday. And then this scripture reveals to us that God, in that day, he was standing. Let me prophesy again. God, over Boko, God, now, is standing. If you know any of those people that have been doing that fake prophetic ministry in Boko and been stealing money from widows and from people, sleeping with all kinds of people in town, impregnating some of them. And if you have a relative that is one of the people I'm talking about, go and warn them from now. They can repent from now till December. If you cannot warn them, then buy land. Buy land. Buy land in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, so God began to educate the gods. He said, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. These were the things that they were supposed to do. They were supposed to be in alignment so that there will be an extension of the finger of God in the territory. They were supposed to defend people that could not be, that are not protected. Today, people use anointing, use puppies to exploit. That's not the way of the gods. That's not the way of the gods. An intercessor rises up and stands on the mountain, not because of his own prayers. Not because of his own sound. He uses his stature. He uses his capacity with God to fight for people that do not have capacity to protect themselves from the darkness that wants to rage in the territory. That's what he uses his throne to do. In the battle of thrones, in the war of thrones, people that are custodians of thrones, mighty men in the... That's why that the mighty men are mentioned first. Because they are the ones that wield the power of thrones to discomfit principalities and powers that seeks to put their feet upon the territory. Hallelujah. Because of the different thrones we occupy, we have different abilities and different skills.
Okay, like my brother Joshua, I have seen his oppression is different from my own. I know when if a situation comes up, I know when it is better for him to be the one to lead. Because that's what Paul meant when he said, henceforth, we do not know any man according to the flesh. We identify men from the description of their thrones and from the way the anointing of the Holy Spirit has configured them. That is their true description. And the people should be identified as such. And such that in situations and circumstances that somebody is not suitable to lead the army on the account of his own endowment and impartation, you that you are a leader, step behind so that the thrones will talk. That's how battles are fought. You cannot be strong every time. Can't be strong every time. That's how we invaded the car. We knew who should do what at every time. Hallelujah. People that were custodians of shrines turned their life to Jesus. We destroyed many shrines. They say, okay, I gave them instruction. Go and destroy all these things. They now came to my cottage to meet me. Said that this one, we put it in the fire and it jumped out. When we put it, I said, okay, no problem. It's all right. You are in the right place. Bring firewood. We now control. I said, okay, put it now. Then the thing now decided to die. I know my throne. I know it. All right? I know my throne. And see, if you don't understand your throne, if you don't know your throne, it's not humility. You are vulnerable. You know, in Boko, an ignorant man will masquerade in ignorance and present it as if it's humility. No, he's in darkness. He will sing a solemn hymn and make us think that he is actually operating from high places of glory. It's a lie. That sculpture, that scarecrow, he no longer scares the devil. Maybe he survived one time, but this, now thrones talk. And if you are not a custodian of a throne, you are not powerful. You know, a great prince rises in the territory and everybody wants to talk like a king. You are a miserable man. Because you don't know yourself. You have not found your destiny. You have not known the name that God wrote concerning you on the white stone. That's why you are... God save Boko. I know you will not answer. Me, I answered. Because I knew you will not answer. Amen. God save Boko.
Amen.
And people have lived in the shadows and their life is about to come to an end and the giants are still standing in the land. That means a generation failed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's the mighty men that wield the honor of thrones. They are the ones that can actually do the real warfare that can cleanse the land. And make something else to dwell in his waters. These guys have honor from God in the kingdom of the heavens. But a time came when they joined alliance with Satan because of the philosophy of self. They used the thrones and the privileges and the grace, the anointing, to serve themselves. So they now aligned with wickedness against the poor and the fatherless. And it happens to be that God says, he is the father of what? Of the fatherless. He is the husband of what? Of the widow. If you touch the fatherless, you have touched God. Somehow he will have to stand. And so injustice continued. Perversion of justice became the order of the day. Meanwhile, there were people that God has assigned in the territory and given thrones to take care of his business so that that land will be tamed and brought under his government. But the mighty men connived with the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, those days we wanted to talk like the great preachers around. When we attend a camp meeting, we change the tone of our voice. And the Holy Spirit now asked me, he said, who are you? Yeah, I was so mingled that my identity died in the midst.
Then I said, no more. Let's journey into the wilderness and find out the original sound that God tuned our spirit to it. You know, if we bring that guitar now and we strike a chord, it was, there's a the sound that the manufacturers tuned it with. There are some guitars that are treble guitars, some are tenor guitars, some are, do you understand, bass guitars. They were tuned like that from the manufacturer. I went in search of my sound. Because the Bible says that if the trumpet gives an unsettling sound, nobody can prepare for battle. You see, people are at ease in battle because the prophetic voice is not, is not. What you people call prophetic is the ministry of thieves looking for. But that sound, that distinct sound, it will come clear again. He judgeth among the gods. He said, deliver the poor and the needy. He said, lead them out of the hand of the wicked. So the wicked was prospering, was afflicting, taking territories, taking lands, putting people under perpetual damnation. And the men with thrones were there. They formed an alliance with them. They would go to their palaces and drink wine of the sweat of men. Their stomach will bulge. They will come out with sacks of currency and say, the Lord is good. The Lord. The Lord is good. That day has ended. In order for God to give us insight, He began to try to educate the gods to make them understand the extent of power and potential that is at work at their disposal. So He gave them an example. He began to tell what we call a prophetic story. Something, an event that took place, but the meaning was hidden. Until the prophetic anointing came, the ministry of the interpreter was unfolded. And then interpretation was given to that event in the light of the wisdom of God. You know, if Job had an interpreter, Job would not have committed blunder. Job was supposed to... let me stop. I will need two scriptures to prove it. So, it was a meeting of the sons of God. And Job was supposed to be in that meeting. And Job was not in that meeting. When the resolution that was reached in that meeting was being implemented, Job was totally morose about it. Because of his ignorance, he blasphemed. And he had to repent when God put him through. There are many people that were supposed to be in a lot of meetings in the realm of the spirit. Their thrones afforded them the privilege of attendance. And they were not in such meetings. Those people, in their capacities as watchmen over some cities, they have shortchanged those cities. Because there are many things that will happen in those cities that those people will not be able to give account of. Now, in order to fill that gap, a different office would have to find expression, which is the ministry of the interpreter. The interpreter will have to come and interpret the reason why these things are happening so that wisdom can be furnished. Now, God was operating here. He was operating the ministry of the interpreter, trying to give the gods an insight into the kind of power that was at work at their disposal. He uses the scenario of Adam and Eve as during his interpretation. In verse 5, he said, they know not. Who is there? Adam and Eve. He said, neither we don't understand, because they did not know. The knowledge we are talking about here is not a knowledge in the library. It is the revealed knowledge that is in Christ. That's how we can know our identity in God. And I'm not talking about the basic identity of a Christian in the book of Romans chapter 5. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If that's all you know, you are a babe. Because over and above that, we have found more. Hallelujah. Those ones will come to you by revelation. revealing to you your unique destiny and the unique thrones that you are going to sit upon to administer the purposes of God committed into your hands. Every mandate from God is a policy statement. It's an intention, a revelation of an intention of God. Committed to a man. So that the dimensions of God's purposes can find expression upon the face of the earth. Are you still with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
And so the Bible says, this was God teaching them. He said, they know not. He said, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, if the impact or the repercussion of the failure of the gods to function accordingly was personal, if the impact was what? Personal. It wouldn't have been so injurious. But you see, the impact was not personal, the impact was global. Because their failure to align with God made the foundations of the earth to be what? Out of course. There are several lands today that are plunged into darkness because some thrones are not active and they are not functional. That land is out of course. Something else begins to breathe into the territory because those thrones are not functional. He said the foundation of the earth, out of course. Some of your families are plunged into darkness today because some thrones that were located to those families have not been activated and the foundations are what? For some of you, what God has spiritually blessed your family with is a priesthood. But for 13 generations in the lines of your family, that priesthood was only operated from the kingdom of darkness. So you had the greatest sorcerers, the greatest marabouts, the greatest necromancers, people that could sound the gong and summon the spirits of the dead and interact and use their wisdom, their dark wisdom, to plunge the land into deeper slavery. It was a priesthood that God committed to the family. But the people identified its potential from the kingdom of darkness and began to operate it from that point. When will it be that the son of righteousness will emerge within that family and operate the throne of that priesthood and bring deliverance to the people of God? When will it be? When will that time come?
I know you are tired. I know that this my message is not selling in Boko. So they say, Kai, this one, this Lagos one, this one, no.
See, you know what? We have worked with God long enough to lie to people. If it would have been fake, it would have been fake since. There were opportunities we had that our fakeness would have yielded money. So if we wanted to be fake, we would have been fake in the past 12 years. But listen to me, the voice of the prophets that are rising now, money can't stop it. It can't stop it. It's too late for the devil to stop it now. It's too late. It has survived too many seasons. The pure voice of God will come into the land. Righteousness will be restored. You cannot separate accurate prophetic ministry from its capacity to breed righteousness in a particular territory. Can't separate it. Not all the stage managed kind of things that people do now. Hallelujah. When I see the way somebody is operating prophetic ministry, I look at him. I judge him in the light of the scriptures. When Isaiah came from the wilderness and he cried, his utterance and his cry went into the social system of the entire land. The Bible says that his ministry spanned during the time of the four greatest kings in Israel. There was economic development. In fact, in the days of Hezekiah, Israel became a world power. So they were making national progress when Elijah was in active ministry. But the man was crying. He said, woe, Because the economic process, progress they made at the detriment of their spiritual character. And he was saying, woe to them. His voice was not the popular voice. His voice called the nation to repentance. His voice called them to the virtue of their God. His voice was calling them to something, the heritage of God that was being lost in the land. That's a true prophetic voice. What we have now are fraudsters. If a prophet should cry, he is a priest of the altar. He should be bringing things out of the altar of heaven that the great angel himself services. Why do you think the Bible says that the whole Israel was brought out of captivity by one prophet? Just one prophet. If you know the capacity and the power that is tied to the throne of a true prophet in a land, in a nation, among a people, you will know that we have sinned. They know not, neither will they understand. As I'm preaching, some young ladies there are laughing. I pity you. I pity you. I pity you that you grew to this age. You don't understand courtesies in the house of God. You don't know what you are playing with. It's deadly. When you don't have order in your soul, the Bible calls you a bastard. You have not submitted yourself to the discipline of the Holy Spirit. This was what Moses told them. He said, see! He says, see that you do not resist him that speaketh. He says, see. Because everyone that did not obey the voice that was even that came through angels, they suffered. But he said, how much more? With the ones that do not align with the protocol of the voice of God. I pity you. I pray for mercy from you. In the name of Jesus Christ. He said they know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods. Speaking to about Adam and Eve. But you shall die like men. That means they were measured into time. They were measured into time. As long as you are on that throne, you are an eternal excellency. Your dominion will not stop with time. Every elected ruler only has 4 years to boast. He will come down and all of us will find maize in our backyard. But there is something called the eternal excellency. And if you sit on that throne, you will retain that honor forever. But the Bible says that these guys, on the account of the fact that they have administered these thrones wrongly, they will die like men. Even though God had ordained them to be what? To be gods. Listen. There will be many among the gods that will die like men. Because they know not and they do not understand. If you know the Holy Spirit at all concerning this land, he's weeping. If you know him, he's weeping. Because the gods have aligned themselves with wicked ways. We are going to pray. I don't have much time. If you are called to be a pastor in Boko, don't accept. Go back to God and find out. Because that terrain is going to be terrible in the days in which we live. Hallelujah. There is lawlessness everywhere. No order. No alignment. Because it's Sunday morning, so you must talk on the pulpit. Meanwhile, God is only walking when his spirit is walking. If his spirit stops working, it means they have stopped working. But even though God stops working, people are still working. instead of us to stop and look for him and find out where our heart stayed. The gods continued, and they formed an alliance with darkness and sold the land into slavery. There is a prayer that the psalmist prayed. It will be our ending prayer. In the book of Psalms 82, where we just read, he ends with a prayer in verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Arise, O God. For some of you, a priesthood was zoned to your family, and that priesthood has never been activated in righteousness. Many people operated it in witchcraft, in sorcery, in necromancy, so much so that your family was identified to be the family of spiritual men, of strong men. It was a grace that was perverted. And a generation must have to rise that will appropriate that throne in righteousness and see the purpose and the intention of God find expression. For some of you, it is the grace of the intercessor that has been lying fallow. And the devil saw it. Because the devil doesn't make converts and he doesn't create. He only borrows. He saw that there was such a capacity among your people. Then he joined them with Azure Spirit. So that with that capacity, he can use them to be. And they function by familiar spirits. And you don't understand that the original thing that was there upon which they are standing is an intercessory generation. When will the gods arise? When will they rise up to take the land out of the fingers of the oppressor? When will that generation that has decided to fight for the name of God awake? They will not fight for themselves. They will not fight for their sustenance. But they will be as jealous for the name of God as the cherubims of heaven. When will that day come? Except a people like that emerge in this land, forget about change. Because when God administers the nations, because it is him that will inherit all nations, as he administers them, what he does is that he releases thrones to those nations. And it is the responsibility of the church to soar in high places in Jesus Christ until they sit on them. Until principalities that war in the second heavens are displaced. And then their thrones replace those thrones that existed in those realms. The land will never change. Because the foundation of the earth is in the second heavens. That's where the prince of Persia stopped Gabriel as he was in transit. And the prayers, the effect of the prayers will not reach the earth. That's where the battle is. And that's why God needs to position us in realms where we will sit on thrones and fight from that vantage point. This land must be drawn out of the covering cast that has held it bound for years. The gods must arise. For the Bible says, if we call them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. Let us rise. The time of half measures and talk is over. Mighty men must rise in the land. The time of labeling theological capsules, they are over. People that know God in spirit and truth need to arise and cut covenant with God to protect his name and his interests. I don't know how long you want to journey, but there's a cry that has been lingering over this land for more more years than all the life some of us have lived upon the face of the earth. And that prayer of heaven must be answered by earth. Men must rise up in alignment with the demands of the Spirit. And God must have a people upon whom to set his feet so that he can effect the redemption that his heart seeks to bring to the territory. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. You will inherit Tibland. You will inherit Idoma land. You will inherit Nigeria. And so arise, so arise. Let the ancient thrones that have been abandoned be occupied. Let an anointing come upon your people. Oh, Son of God, we call on your name. Arise, arise, Son of God. We sing your praise. Arise, arise, Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One, Lord. We call for salvation. Arise, arise, Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered. Oh, arise, arise, Holy One, Lord. We call for salvation. Arise, arise, Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered. Say, Mamunda Maribasaila. Arise, arise, Holy One. We call on your name. Arise, arise, Son of God. Yeah. And let your enemies be scattered. So be Raila Masanda. Arise, arise, Holy One. Oh, we call on your name. Oh, arise, 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 Son of God. Yeah. And let your enemies be scattered. Oh, arise, arise, Holy One. Holy One, we call on your name. Arise, 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 Son of God. Arise, arise, and let your enemies be scattered. Oh, arise, arise, Holy One. We call on your name. We call on your name. Sing and arise. Arise, 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 Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered. And let your enemies be scattered. Arise, 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 arise.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we call on your name. We call on your name. Sing, arise, 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 arise. Oh.
is scattered. Your enemies is scattered.
Oh, Jesus' name.
Friends, I behold heaven. And heaven was rent, and I saw a bed in the form of a dome. There were 12 wells that were running. No, 4 wells. 12 wells in Benue State, 4 in Boko. So, I'm talking about Boko. 4 wells out of the 12 in Boko. And you know what? All of those 4 wells have been stopped. And I saw that bed like a dove, but bigger in size. He was digging those wells. Just digging. The labors of our hero's past shall never be in vain.
Amen.
Now, the dove I saw is still in this hall now. Now, it is going to rest upon somebody. To rest. He's digging one well now. Removing the sand. So that the spring can come. Friends, this is our time. If we sleep now, then we are not wise. It's time to arise. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, do not pass me by. The dove will rest on somebody. It's descending now. It's coming stronger now. It's stronger now. It's coming strong. Sabolim Akabara Nemoske. The hand of God is still strong in the hall. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, ushers, how many ushers do we have now? Listen to me, I'm seeing the trumpets, the golden trumpets now. I'm seeing the golden trumpets. I don't know how God will help us this night. There is somebody's eyes that God has begun to heal. Somebody's eyes, God is healing now. I rebuke every form of blindness in that eye. I command blindness go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. There is a prophetic spirit that I've been given to this young man. Father, let the fountains never cease. You see, the great one told me that the confirmation of the wells, the 4 wells that are being recovered will be that the dove will alight on someone and impart into him the prophetic spirit. Listen to me, I'm seeing one door open now. One door open, one door open. Lord, let the doors be open. Let the doors be open. I'm seeing two doors open now. Let the doors be open. Let the doors be open. The gates that were shut, the passages that were shut. Father, let it be open. By the power that is in the blood of Jesus, three doors open. Some people will pass through some of these doors right now. The Holy Spirit will take some people and take them through the door. Right now. Can you pray and say, God, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. There are three doors now. In Jesus' name. Now, you know, I'm a small boy, and it's difficult to talk to my elders, but God, He's my elder. I'm seeing God supplying the finances to fund a particular project that you want to be involved with. I'm seeing God supplying the finances to fund a project. I'm seeing it clearly. The funds are coming, says the Spirit of God. Sorry, it took courage for me to say this, since you are one of our fathers. Forgive me if I didn't do well. Forgive me if I didn't do well. But the unction was strong. There cannot be... Hallelujah. See, your life will not remain the same again, sister. Lift up your hands to heaven. I command that eye that the devil has attacked. I command it to receive the healing balm of the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray from my left hand side to my right hand side. It is your will, Lord, for men to pass through these doors. Father, make it happen. Make it happen. Make it happen. Oh, yes, the anointing has descended upon one person. I can see that. That descended. It's coming stronger now. It's coming stronger. You are going to pass through that door. God will take you through the door. He will take you through the door. He will take you through the door. Oh, Holy Ghost. He will take you through the door. Father, that one person that you want to take through the door, that is in this crowd, either inside or outside, let your hand begin to descend upon that life. Oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Let your hand begin to descend. Let your hand begin to descend. Let it descend stronger. 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 Take that one through the door in the name of Jesus Christ. Now do your two hands like this. Let's pray. You want to ask God to fill your hands now. He will drop some things on it. Don't ask for money this night. Ask Him to fill your hands. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. Sia takabala. Mereskondeza zana ilahabala. Father, brasa tua la ba braska manda. Braska manda. He is putting some things into the hands. He's putting some things into the hands right now. He's putting some things. He's putting some things. Sia gobono mon santa babarahai. Ababerene. He's putting some things. Oh my God. Some grace that have expired. He's renewing it. He's renewing it. Sending some people back into motion. Back into motion. To man their gates.